Behind every song is a voice, and every voice is a story. The journeys behind the voices brings life to the music that shapes each of us. Brought to you by Visible Music College and in partnership with the largest online Christian music site, New Release Today. This is Behind the Tunes, and I am your host, Austin Black. Together, we will explore those journeys, the journeys behind the artists that shape the landscape of today's music. Today on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios with Colton Dixon. Check him out at ColtonDixon.com. Colton, thanks so much for being here today, man.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for making time.
You got it. Now, look, yeah, I was doing a little bit of reading up on you. And so you're originally from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Is that correct?
That's correct. You pronounced it correct as well. Good for you.
Yes, I practice very hard. And
that's
so
good.
It's outside Nashville, so it's kind of in the area. But I wanna make sure I do this segment correctly. Should I call it the borough? Is that what we do?
You did do your research, yeah. So Murfreesboro natives call it the borough. So yeah, from the borough, it's basically an extended suburb of Nashville, about 40 minutes outside of Nashville.
All right, so I'm going to get me a t-shirt that says unofficial member of the borough from this point forward, because I
love it.
Like, that's part of it. Now, did you know that the borough was originally named Cannonsburg? It was not always Murfreesboro?
You know, there's actually a spot in Murfreesboro called Cannonsburg Village where you could go. I mean, it's got everything from like water pumps to how they used to, you know, churn butter. It's like one of those like late 1800s, you know, early 1900s type spots, you know, that you can go visit. And so I might have put two and two together, actually. Yeah.
See, and I read up on Cannonsburg Village.
I'm very impressed.
See? So I was like, oh, I need to go check this out next time I'm in Nashville. Let me go pump some water and churn some butter maybe along the way. And so a lot of neat things in Murfreesboro with it having especially the influence in Nashville there. Now, fun fact too, real quick, is for everybody listening, we love Nashville, all the stuff, whatever. But Nashville's second because Murfreesboro was originally the capital of Tennessee.
I didn't know that.
You play that card whenever you need it. Whenever you need it.
You got it. Yeah, I did not know that.
Yep. And then this one. Now I saw that at once you were an extra in the Hannah Montana movie. Yes,
is that true? You did too much research.
Too much research. but I don't want to talk about that. Okay, we're good with there, unless you want to dive down that road a little bit. But
yeah, you're correct.
There's a Murfreesboro Little Theater. Has Colton Dixon ever performed anything in the Murfreesboro Little Theater?
You know, I don't think I have done anything at the Murfreesboro Theater. However, there's a theater, is it Woodbury, Tennessee? It's like a solid 45 minutes to an hour northeast of Murfreesboro, called the Cannon County Playhouse.
Okay.
It's like the main theater I feel like people even from Murfreesboro go to or used to back when I was in high school, but I've done a few things there.
All right.
But yeah, I haven't done the Murfreesboro Theater thing.
All right, so you were in plays growing up.
I did, yeah. I dabbled in theater a little bit.
All right, we won't go deep into this, I promise. What's your favorite play you were ever in?
Ooh. At the time, I would have said High School Musical. Yeah. It was big on Disney Channel at the time. Yeah. And I'm not saying this because I was that good. It's just I went to a pretty small private high school, so the pickings were slim. But I played Troy Bolton, you know, the lead guy.
Yeah.
And full transparency, I feel like that play is really what helped me in my vocal range, because some of the songs are quite rangy for a guy. And I was really considered more of a tenor too. But there were like B flats, you know, in that play. I'm like, golly, I've got to start working on this. So I would every day for about an hour, I would really work on that. Enjoyed that at the time, but looking back, I think the most fun play that I was a part of was Snow White in the 70s.
Oh, I've never heard of that.
Dude, I have never heard of that play ever again since we did it. So it must not be a very popular one, but just the concept of the Snow White story. And dude, we were in full 70s, like platform shoes,
Yeah.
flare bottoms, you know, the ruffles. It was a sight to behold.
What was your role?
I don't even remember. Like, I really don't even remember. I just know I was in 8th grade, 9th grade, maybe. Just remember having that was my first, I think that was my first like real jump into theater and just loved it.
I got enemies at every side. It ain't looking good, I ain't gonna lie. Arrows flying, devils trying to make me think I'm going down this time. You might think that I'd be afraid, running scared with a shaking faith. But the God I know says it ain't over. The God I know is gonna make a way. Yeah, though I walk through the valley, I will have no
here on Behind the Tunes. You guys know him as Colton. Some people knew him as Troy at one point.
That's
But
true.
enough about the borough and your theater days. Colton, what got you into music to begin with?
I feel like I was always drawn to music. I grew up in church, and music is such a big part of church culture. You know, even people who, you know, nowadays aren't even believers. You ask them like, "Hey, where'd you get your start?" And they're like, "Man, I grew up in church and was singing all the time." And that was kind of true for me too. But there was a point where I've been taking piano lessons a few years, started about 7 or 8 years old, and at 13, my piano teacher was taking lessons in Smyrna, just a hop away from the borough. He made me sing at a piano recital, very traumatic. My eye still twitches when I think about it. But it really it did a couple things for me, even being that young. Like the fact that I did it and I kind of overcame the fear was kind of a big deal for me. But two, even just like on a faith perspective, I really feel like that was the first time I had like a strong connection with the Lord. I think it was the first time I encountered Holy Spirit, and I just knew that music was going to be a part of my life. It was going to be a tool that he used to reach people, and I didn't know quite what it was going to look like, but it was wild. I just knew as I was singing, I was like, this is it. This is like what God has called me to do. Not saying it was good, but I had some things to work on for sure, but I recognized the gift. And what was kind of weird too is my parents were there being a piano recital, but other kids' parents as well. I feel like they recognized that gift, not necessarily talent, but the gift to minister through music. And so yeah, that was kind of the moment at 13 that I was like, you know what, this is what I want to do. So I was young. Before then, I was like listening to Christian radio and country radio and picking out songs on the piano and always loved it. But as far as singing and ministering with music, it was that moment.
Well, and people don't often, I think in these terms. One, the church is such an important place for, obviously, so understatement, but
Sure.
for the cultivation of the gifts and the things that God placed within us, for us to then not just use them internally, but take them out into the world. But then the other thing you said that I hear a lot on this show as I listen to people's stories is you said the people in the room that day seemed to really take notice that there was a gifting there. And I'm presuming you know that because people began to speak that into your life. And I try to bring that out every time because for whatever reason, too often we don't speak into people's lives what we see God placed within them.
Man, we just did an award show, and of course Brandon Lake was getting all the awards. But anyway, he was giving an award speech, and he said something that really stuck with me, and I related to. It was his second or third time up to the podium that night, and he just goes, "Man," he's like, "I don't even really know what to say other than thank you to all the people who spoke into my life at the early stages, at the stages where the talent wasn't really there. You perceived spiritually that something was going on." He's like, "You're the reason why I continue to pursue." And even just thinking about when I was young, like, dude, even just my parents kept everything on video, bro. So like looking back occasionally on some of that stuff, I'm like, my God, that's so cringy, but still, like, people were still so kind, and they would make it a point to say, "Man, like, even beyond the man, you did such a good job." It's like, "Man, like, what you did really touched me or really spoke to me," and that also I feel like helps set up a very healthy perspective as an artist, because it's really easy to make this whole gig about you. You've got people cheering when you show up to work. It's just very not natural, you know. But when you have people speaking into on a spiritual level, saying, "Man, what you're doing is making an impact, making a difference," I know that it's not it that has nothing to do with me. That's just like, I'm the vessel, he's the source, right? He's working through me. And so I really appreciate those people around me. Exactly what you said.
I'm writing an email to my boss right now of how do we get to where people cheer for me when I come to work? How do I do that? I've never heard it described that way. People cheer when I come to work. What a great day.
It's pretty weird, when you think about it. It's overrated. Overrated.
You have me standing on a mountain, walking through barren lands. You took my hand and you said, you can have this world, but I won't go with you. Oh, I won't go with you. But I ran out of places with feelings I was chasing. All I have is you and you alone. Should I go? Your spirit will follow me down to Sheol. And the thing about the King, he's always with me, so I can't run from you. But I won't run from you. And I said, hold on, wait a minute. I don't want what you in and then I don't wanna go unless I'm going there with you.
Church say, God did it, God.
Dixon on Behind the Tunes from the Visible Music College Studios. Check him out at ColtonDixon.com. Colton, do you remember the first record you bought with your own money?
I remember, let's see. Do I remember my first? Yeah, I mean, I remember a few of them. Yeah, or the first ones that I can think of. The first two CDs that I was ever given was as a Christmas present. I got a portable CD player, and I got NSYNC, No Strings Attached, and Britney Spears, Hit Me Baby One More Time. And I was like, dude, I was like 9 like or 10. I had no business having those CDs, but that's what I got. And dude, I wore those CDs out as a 9 or 10 year old. I completely forgot about that until you asked me that question. However, the first ones that I bought with my own money, gosh, like, I feel like what kind of started even my love for Christian rock was I won, like, we every once every month in my youth group, my youth pastor would get sent CDs in like a gift box, like a bunch of new CDs. And so there'd be one student that would win, and you get to go pick out of the CD bucket. Well, I picked Skillet Comatose out of that bucket. And bro, that record just set it off for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, whatever this is, I want more of this. So I went to Walmart, and dude, anything that had an edgy cover in the Christian section, I was snagging it. So, and dude, there were some great records around this time. Pillar, Where Do We Go From Here? Falling Up, Dawn Escapes, Red, I think it was their Breathe Into Me record. I mean, dude, I was all about those records. I could go on and on about all the Christian rock days, bro. But anyway, those are some of the first ones. I had that, but then I also remember going and buying Mark Schultz, Letters for More. Like, I was a big piano guy, right? So Mark was like, dude, my freaking hero. I tried for months trying to pick out how to play Letters for More to no avail.
he goes in that, he's not, I was about to speak of him like he's not with us anymore, but he can write stories in the songs. Like, it's just insane. It's like he's told me an entire movie.
100%. I feel like I just watched the best Hallmark movie ever made in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Incredible.
You're like devastating us. We're all emotional. And but it's just, wow, man.
beat for the kids.